Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, who is the Christ. Amen. So we're going to go way back to beyond or before loaves and fishes and go back to the gospel text for today. The gospel text for today is one of those that loves to pop up around stewardship time. And we swear we weren't intending on focusing on it, but the lectionary would have us think otherwise. And perhaps also the Holy Spirit, Bill. So in thinking and pondering about the text for today, that gospel of the wonderful slaves who received the talents from their master, I kept thinking about one question, and that was, what kept that one servant, that last servant who received the one talent, what kept that servant from doing anything with the talent? Instead of going out and taking a risk like the first two did, which they did. They took a gamble. I mean, they could have lost it all, and the master came back, and actually they had lost everything instead of doubled their money. Instead of doing that, of taking the risk and trying, he went out, and what did he do with the talent? He buried it. He dug a hole, and he buried it. So why? Did you catch it? It says it in the text. Why did he do that? Yeah, fear. He was afraid. It says it right in the text. In fact, it's a story we know so well that we probably don't even need to hear the whole story. We don't need to go to the end and hear the weeping and gnashing of teeth to know the reason he didn't go out and do anything with it is because he was afraid. Well, fear is, I think, what kept him from going and taking the risk of trying to gain more talents. He was afraid of his master, it said. He knew of his master as not being a generous master, but being one of anger and wrath. Now, the other two slaves didn't say anything about the personality or characteristics of the master. They went out and took the risk anyway. So, he says he's afraid of his master and doesn't want to do anything with what he's been given. He's buried his talent and only giving back the bare minimum. This parable is a wonderful one, of course, to tell us and to teach us what to do with what we have. It's so often used to talk about our stewardship. Jesus tells this parable and the question keeps sneaking in. And I keep wondering, how is it that I or that you are managing and caring for all that you've been given? Are you burying it under the ground, or are you doing something good for the sake of the gospel? I think fear, and oftentimes unconscious fear that kind of sinks in when we're not even fully aware of it, I think perhaps it's sometimes the fear of God, sometimes the fear of others, the fear of not measuring up or being good enough, sometimes, oftentimes, even the fear of success itself keeps many people just as bound as that third slave in the gospel text for today. I'm sure that many of us can think of an instance that fear has held us back. Maybe looking back, you realize that you only had one shot at something, one opportunity to take a risk and to try something, and now you look back and you think, I should have, because you weren't ready to take the risk. Someone ages and ages ago told me, Angela, you need to stop shooting all over yourself and to start doing. That's right. And it stuck with me because I think it's really true. The word should is not necessarily a helpful word. It means we look back and we are with regret. But when that does happen, and it often does, I hope that each one of us is able to look back and have an opportunity to realize that in those moments, we recognize or can learn what was happening within ourselves, what was stirring within us, and perhaps what's stirring out around us that's causing us to not be willing to take a risk. And of course, there are going to be moments in our lives where it's okay, and often the better path to take the less risky road. But when we live in fear, when we take the safe route because of fear, We're not following the lead and encouragement of our master. And that's, I think, when we know we miss out. My mother, someone who you, as many of you have met, may not strike you as a woman who takes big risks. And as I was growing up, I knew my mother to be the queen of practical. In fact, she used to ask me all the time, "Well, you want to do that? Is that practical?" And I learned to hate the P word. I was tired of trying to figure out what was practical or not. In fact, I remember one of the biggest decisions I made as a teenager is coming home from church, my junior, end of junior year of high school, and telling my mom, she didn't go that morning for some reason, she was probably ill or something, and I said, "Mom, I'm going to Africa in a year." Instead of condemning me, she said, "Well, I don't think so. It's not very practical." And I said, "No, in fact, I am going. I don't know how, but I'm going." I was willing to take the risk, and of course I was young, and so I couldn't really see the comprehend the financial necessity of all that would be in place. But I decided I was going to do it, and my mom kept saying, "Is it practical?" I often thought of my mom as a woman who would tend to stay in the shallow end of the pool where it was safer, not get in above her head. But now, as a grown woman, I look back, and after even conversations more recently with my mom, I realize that seeing my mom as someone who didn't step out and take risks is incorrect. My mom, in fact, is one who takes great risks. And the one that I can most easily think about and go back to is the fact that my mom stepped out in faith and left my dad when I was only 9 years old. And my sister was 4 going on 5. My mom decided to become a single mom for the sake and the good of both her children. Difficult marriage for 19 years, she decided to try something new. She decided to step out in faith and defend for herself. And not only did she make that huge decision, she decided to move us miles and miles away to a new town, and to completely start over. She did all of it for the sake of her kids, for my sister and I, for the love that she had for us and wanting the best for us. And now I look back and I realize what a brave and risky thing that was to start brand new. Now my mother, the queen of practical, didn't move us to just any random town. She moved us to actually where her parents lived, to her hometown, where there was probably some familiarity, sure. But at the same time, my mother took the big risk. It's almost like she was able to balance the being practical and the risk-taking all at the same time. So my mother, years later, now continues to be a teacher and mentor for me, reminding me that God's the one who's in charge. God's the one who is in the lead. And reminding me that sometimes taking risks, though of course calculated and planned and as practical as possible, is the only way to live most faithfully. So I wonder about you. I wonder who are the role models in your life that either demonstrated fear or showed you a spirit of risk-taking. We all have people in our lives that have taught us one way or another. And I also know that our lives are made up of a multitude of opportunities where we will be given the chance over and over again to take our talents and use them for the glory of God. The God I know is the God who keeps speaking the words, "Fear not." Fear not, throughout Scripture, in Old Testament, but especially in the New Testament. Jesus himself, but also messengers of many kinds, have come and said, "Fear not." Let's be clear, though, right? Like, some opportunities have passed us by already. Some opportunities have passed us by and we have said no. We have perhaps lived in fear. But time continues on, and we are afforded different opportunities. We can't go back in time, but we can only live in the present and look towards the future with God. I do think that we often need to heed my mother's advice and think of the practical needs of life, because they do weigh heavily. And even though there are times where we have failed to take risks, there will be, and certainly there have been, great times in our lives where there are needs bigger than our own. And we are challenged to get out of the shallow water, to take a risk, and to go into the deep, uncertain of how it will happen. And God calls us there forth and says, "Trust me, fear not, for all will be well." I think part of the reality in our world is that sometimes God calls us down the path to take a chance and to take a risk, and then things just don't work out the way we thought they were going to. In fact, oftentimes I think I know how something's going to pan out, and God has another plan. Or there's just a curve in the road, and it leads us down in a way we didn't expect. But the beauty is, and the generosity of God is such that God, no matter if we feel we've made a decision wrong or we've made a mistake, God is still doing amazing and wonderful things, even when we think we might have missed the mark. My internship supervisor was a great mentor of mine, and I will never forget what Tim said to me as I was trying to make the decision about whether or not to come back to the United States, because I was in Denmark serving overseas. Do I come back to the United States and serve as a pastor in this country, or do I stay overseas and serve with Global Missions through the ELCA? And it was really difficult. I'd been out of the country in my adult life at that time more than I had been in the country. So what does it look to go, quote, home? And I remember Tim looking at me and saying very earnestly and honestly, "Angela, it doesn't really matter in the end what decision you make. For God, it will work through you regardless." And that's really what's important. I think the greatest example of the good things and amazing things that God is capable of, and the reminder that we have been given, is in the life and death of Jesus Christ. In this person, God has come and has been tempted, for example, in the wilderness, and did not give in to fear, did not give in to the temptation to seek power and glory for himself. And then there are times where Jesus was rejected and reviled by all who listened to him, including his best colleagues and comrades. He didn't give in to the fear and temptation to walk away from conflict and adversity. And then in the Garden of Gethsemane, while he was praying and pondering, certainly fear could have taken over. But instead of giving in to that temptation and abandoning that call, Jesus followed through. I'm certain, positive, that there's a really vast difference between burying your talent out of fear and risking your life for the sake of the gospel. We're often called to take risks in our lives for the sake of the gospel, gambling our whole lives for Christ's sake. It's only, I think, when we venture out of the shallow water, take a risk, even though it might seem scary, but begin to use our talents to bless others in new ways, to glorify God, that's where we find ourselves and our lives bearing much fruit. And then there's a side bonus when we often take a risk, is that we find fulfillment. We find contentment when we think we're really just following what God has offered. Indeed, I think you will be a faithful manager of all that God has given you. You may make mistakes from time to time, but God continues to bless and continues to set us free from fear so that we can become fully alive, making the most of the gifts that the Master has granted us. So fear not, dear ones, fear not. Remember that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And remember that God has blessed you and blessed me to be a blessing to others. So share your talents generously. Take some risks and possibly what feels like a couple of gambles along the way, knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ calls us to humble service and to get out of the shallow for the sake of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.